The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our August 2025 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in the program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron already but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we'll take a look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of July at the State Library of North Carolina, the Accessible Books and Library Services Division. We begin with a novel by very popular author, mystery writer Nora Roberts. This one is called Hidden Star. Here's the plot for this one. Hidden Star is the first novel in the trilogy of the Mithra Stars. Bailey James, a gemologist, is contracted by the Smithsonian to verify the authenticity of the stars. When Bailey starts to suspect that there is a plot to steal the stones, she sends two of the stars to her best friends, M.J. O'Leary and Grace Fontaine. Now, after witnessing a traumatic incident that causes her memory loss, Bailey stumbles into Paris investigations for help. Cade Paris, an attractive, rich socialite, chose to open a detective agency against the wishes of his family. When he sees Bailey, his world comes to a standstill. He is touched by her distress and immediately feels protected towards her. Together, they set out to find who she is, and the only clues they have are a $1.2 in cash, a fully loaded gun, and a huge diamond. It also seems telling that she has extensive knowledge of gems, making her a candidate for an occupation in jewelry or gemology. As Bailey and Cade rapidly fall for each other, Bailey starts to regain her memory in pieces. First, she gets clear images of her two friends as they are closest to her. Then, after a while, she dreams, remembers the initials T.S. and two men who look alike. Cade, with his superior investigative skills, deduces that the men are twins and leads him towards Timothy and Thomas Salvini, Bailey's stepbrothers. Together, they set out to Salvini, a jewelry company, and find Timothy dead at the scene. Bailey regains her memory and realizes that her brothers were the people who were bribed to steal the stone, planning to leave her with the mess. Thomas attacks Bailey and is killed as well. Now they need to find her missing friends and keep the stones safe from the stranger so set on taking possession of them. Once again, sounds like a great mystery story from Nora Roberts. It's called Hidden Star. Next, a nonfiction type book that was very popular this past month. It's called AI for Life. That's Artificial Intelligence for Life. 100 plus ways to use artificial intelligence to make your life easier, more productive, and more fun. And it's by Celia Quillen. demystify the world of artificial intelligence with this groundbreaking guide featuring over 100 innovative ways to incorporate AI into your daily life. Every day, it seems like there's a new artificial intelligence tool on the market and a new complicated way to use it. But what if you could use AI to make your life easier without the complications? Well, in AI for Life, AI expert and creator of @SmartWorkAI offers over 100 ideas and ready-to-use prompts to get AI beginners started in using the technology to actually improve their lives. Now, beginning with a primer on the basics, including an overview of the popular and free AI tools, you will learn expert-tested tips and tricks to get the most out of your AI use, such as layering prompts to dive deeper into an initial response or asking for the output in different formats. Packed with practical how-to information, AI for Life is the must-have guide for using generative AI to make life easier for you, more productive, more organized, and more fun as well. And I might just point out here that Celia Quillian, who is the author here, has been featured as an expert in artificial intelligence by Time Magazine, Axios, New York Post, The Wall Street Journal, and she's been on the Today Show as well. Now, she is the creator of the popular TikTok and Instagram channel @SmartWorkAI. And she teaches practical ways to use AI to make life easier at work and at home. And I think it's certainly a sign of the times that this is one of the most popular books this past month at the State Library. So you might look out for that one. It's called AI for Life, 100 Plus Ways to Use Artificial Intelligence to Make Your Life Easier, More Productive, and More Fun, written by Celia Quillian. Now back to the novels. Here's one called Beyond Reasonable Doubt, and it's by Robert Dugoni. Here's the plot. A master manipulator accused of murder. An attorney sworn to defend her. Kira Dugan returns in a riveting novel of suspense by New York Times best-selling author Robert Dugoni. When Jenna Bernstein, disgraced Wunderkind CEO of a controversial biotech company, is accused of murdering her former partner and lover, she turns to Seattle attorney Kira Dugan to defend her. Kira is more than a master chess player who brings her intuitive moves into court. She's Jenna's childhood friend. But considering their history, Kira knows that where Jenna goes, trouble follows. 5 years earlier, Kira's father successfully defended Jenna when she was tried for the killing of her company's chief scientist, who threatened to go public with allegations of a corporate fraud. Kira knows Jenna too well. When she was a kid, Kira saw Jenna for what she was, a manipulative and frighteningly controlling sociopath. Now, with only circumstantial evidence against Jenna, Kira is willing to bury any trepidation she might have to defend a woman she believes this time to be innocent. As the investigation gets underway and disturbing questions arise, Kira puts her trust in a client who swears that this time she's telling nothing but the truth. If this is all just another devious game, Kira might be working to set a murderer free. Once again, the book is called Beyond Reasonable Doubt, and it was written by Robert Dugoni. Now let's turn to a book called The Widower's Wife, a thriller by Kate Holohan. A dogged insurance investigator suspects that a perfect wife's accidental death was anything but. He doesn't know the half of it. Even after they both lost their jobs, Tom and Anna Bacon seemed to have it all. Good looks, a great home, a wonderful 3-year-old daughter, until Anna fell from the deck of their cruise ship into the waters of the Caribbean a few months after taking out a $5 million insurance policy with a double indemnity clause. Well, 3 months later, Tom's waiting impatiently for insurance strategy and investment to pay up. While Ryan Monahan, a statistics-smitten investigator who was retired from the NYPD by a gunshot, is determined to do his best to make sure his company doesn't have to. His job won't be easy, although he had a strong motive to kill a wife who may have been worth more dead than alive. Tom's also got a strong alibi. Three people saw him at the ship's pool when his wife went over the side. Nor is it easy to believe that Anna, who just discovered that she was pregnant, would have killed herself, even with 5 million reasons, even though her body has never turned up. Holahan alternates chapters detailing Ryan's patient, thorough investigation with flashbacks to Anna's point of view in the days leading up to her death, or maybe just her disappearance. It's a structural cliche that hardly ever works, but this time it does, thanks to Holahan's uncanny skill in pacing her intertwined stories and doling out complications in both of them with a master's hand. The result here is one of those rare thrillers that really will keep you reading all night, especially if you pack it to take on your next Caribbean cruise. Once again, it's called The Widower's Wife, and it was written by Kate Holahan. Now, here's a book called The Amalfi Curse, and it was written by Sarah Penner. Powerful Witchcraft, A Hunt for Sunken Treasure, Forbidden Love on the High Seas, Beware the Amalfi Curse. Haven Ambrose, a trailblazing nautical archaeologist, has come to the sun-soaked village of Positano to investigate the mysterious shipwrecks along the Amalfi coast. But Haven is hoping to find more than old artifacts beneath the azure waters. She is secretly on a quest to locate a trove of priceless gemstones her late father spotted on his final dive. Upon Haven's arrival, strange maelstroms and misfortunes start plaguing the town. Is it nature or something more sinister at work? As Haven searches for her father's sunken treasure, she begins to unearth a centuries-old tale of ancient sorcery and one woman's quest to save her lover and her village by using the legendary art of Stregheria, a magical ability to harness the ocean. Could this magic be behind Positano's latest calamities? Haven must unravel the Amalfi curse before the region is destroyed forever. Against the dazzling backdrop of the Amalfi Coast, this bewitching novel shimmers with mystery, romance, and the untamed magic of the sea. Now let's turn to a memoir. It's called Fahrenheit 182, a smart, funny, and refreshing memoir from Mark Hopus, that's spelled H-O-P-P-U-S, Hopus, the vocalist, bassist, and founding member of pop-punk band Blink 182. Now, this is the story of an angst-filled kid from the desert navigating the chaos of his parents' bitter divorce and searching for his place in the world. Each move across the country was a chance to reinvent himself, switching identities from dork to goth to skate punk, and eventually meeting his best friend, who just so happens to be his musical soulmate. with sharp humor and raw honesty, Fahrenheit 182 takes readers through Mark's formative years as a latchkey kid in the 1980s, hooked on punk rock, skateboards, and MTV. Along the way, Mark reflects on his lifelong battle with anxiety, his celebrated career with Blink 182, and his public fight with cancer, in a voice that's both relatable and unmistakably his own. Threaded with heartfelt grit, Fahrenheit 182 is more than just a memoir for Blink 182 fans. It's a funny, smart, and deeply human story for anyone who struggled, reinvented themselves, wanted to quit, but just kept going. Once again, this is not a novel, but a real story about Mark Hoppus, a vocalist with Blink 182. It's called Fahrenheit 182, a memoir. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a monthly production from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. Now let's turn to a book called Turning to Birds, The Power and Beauty by Lily Taylor. Eye-opening essays about searching for peace in the cacophony of birds and discovering a world of meaning in small moments. And this is from award-winning actor Lily Taylor. The New Yorker magazine says about this book, I'll pass this along, it's very positive. By turns, introspective, inquisitive, and funny, this book is a love letter to nature and the solace it can provide. Again, that's a quote from the New Yorker magazine. Here's the plot and the story for this book. Most people don't really know birds, or rather, they aren't aware of them. Lily Taylor used to be one of those people. She knew birds existed. She thought about them, maybe even more than the average person, but she didn't know them. And then something happened. During a much-needed break from her work as an actor, Lily sought silence and instead found the bustling, symphonic world of birds that had always existed around her. Since then, she has kept a keen eye pressed to her binoculars in search of vivid stories that elevate the everyday, if only one pays attention. Now, through a series of beautifully crafted essays, Taylor shares her intimate encounters with the birds that have captured her heart and imagination. From tracking flitting woodpeckers through oak trees to spotting majestic blue jays perched on a Manhattan fire escape. From the exhilaration of witnessing a migratory flock from the top of the Empire State Building to the quiet joy of observing a nest of hatchlings in her own backyard. Through simply paying attention to birds, Lily has been shown a parallel world that is wider and deeper, one of constant change and movement, full of life and the will to survive. Throughout Turning to Birds, Taylor encourages mindfulness, inviting readers to be present and fully engaged with the world around them. Taylor's lyrical prose and thoughtful meditations on both the art we make and the art we discover around us create a sense of intimacy and wonder, inviting readers to see the world through new eyes and to find joy in the most unexpected places. Once again, it's called Turning to Birds, The Power and Beauty by Lily Taylor. Now here's a book called Grand Central. It's a composite, really, of original stories of post-war love and reunion. And it was written by Karen White, Pam Genoff, and Allison Richman. 10 best-selling authors inspired by New York City's iconic Grand Central Terminal have created their own stories set on the same day just after the end of World War II, in a time of hope, uncertainty, change, and renewal. A war bride awaits the arrival of her GI husband at the platform. A Holocaust survivor works at the oyster bar, where a customer reminds him of his late mother. A Hollywood hopeful anticipates her first screen test and a chance at stardom in the kissing room. On any particular day, thousands upon thousands of people pass through Grand Central, through the whispering gallery beneath the ceiling of stars, and past the information booth and its beckoning four-faced clock to whatever destination is calling them. It is a place where people come to say hello and goodbye, and each person has a story to tell. The book features stories from Melanie Benjamin, Jenna Bloom, Amanda Hodgkinson, Pam Genoff, Sarah Geo, Sarah McCoy, Christina McMorris, Allison Richmond, Erica Roebuck, and Karen White. And once again, the book is called Grand Central, All Original Stories of Post-War Love and Reunion. And it was compiled by three of these authors, Karen White, Pam Genoff, and Allison Richmond. Now here's a novel by Julie Soto. It's called The Thrashers. Either you're in or you're out. Welcome to the Thrashers, the elite friend group at New Helvetia High. They're everything everyone wants to be. Jody Dillon was never meant to be one of them. Julian, Lucy, Paige, and the infamous Zach Thrasher are rich, sophisticated, and love attention. Jody feels out of place, but Zach's her childhood best friend, so she's in. Then Emily Mills, who desperately wanted to be a Thrasher, dies, and the whispers about the Thrashers begin. As Emily's journal surfaces, detectives close in, and Jody faces an impossible choice: betray her friends or protect herself. But as eerie messages and strange occurrences escalate, it becomes clear Emily isn't done with them yet. A twisty thrill ride of unforgettable drama and suspense that encapsulates the vulnerability of adolescents playing adult games, and that was from USA Today as that review. This is best-selling author Julie Soto, The Thrashers. It will keep you up at night, desperate to read just one more page. And once again, it's a novel by Julie Soto, and it is called The Thrashers. Now here's a new novel by the very popular author David Baldacci. This is called Strangers in Time, a World War II novel. Here's the plot for this one. 14-year-old Charlie Matters is up to no good, but for a very good reason. Without parents, peerage, or merit, he steals what he needs, living day to day until he's old enough to enlist to fight the Germans. After barely surviving the Blitz, Charlie knows there's no telling when a falling bomb might end his life. 15-year-old Molly Wakefield has just returned to a nearly unrecognizable London. One of millions of children to have been evacuated to the countryside, Molly has been away from her home for nearly 5 years. Her return, however, is not the homecoming she'd hoped for, as she's confronted by a devastating reality. Neither of her parents are there. Without guardians and stability, Charlie and Molly find an unexpected ally and protector in Ignatius Oliver, and solace at his bookshop, The Bookkeep. Mourning the recent loss of his wife, Ignatius forms a kinship with both children, and in each other they rediscover the spirit of family that each has lost. But Charlie's escapades in the city have not gone unnoticed, and someone has been following Molly since she returned to London, and Ignatius is harboring his own secrets, which could have terrible consequences for all of them. As bombs continue to bear down on the city, Charlie, Molly, and Ignatius learn that while the perils of war rage on, their coming together and trusting one another may be the only way for them to survive. Once again, the book is called Strangers in Time. It's a World War II novel by David Baldacci. And now, as we reach the end of the program here, we've got time for one more. This is not a novel, but it sounds like an interesting book that you might enjoy. It's called An Introduction to Prayer, and it was written by Robert Barron. Prayer fascinates us. Studies show that even atheists and agnostics sometimes pray. But what precisely is prayer? How does it work? And what are some of the time-tested ways to practice it? An Introduction to Prayer offers a collection of rich yet brief reflections on prayer and the Catholic spiritual tradition from acclaimed author, speaker, and theologian Bishop Robert Barron. Now, this book explores answers to questions like, why should I pray? What should I say or do when I'm praying? Who exactly am I praying to? Are there different types of prayer? What do the spiritual masters say about prayer? How can I establish a solid routine of prayer? And many, many more questions, some of which you probably asked yourself from time to time. It's perfect for beginners, but filled with profound insights for those looking to further their spiritual life. An Introduction to Prayer will inspire you to seek out more frequent conversation and a deeper communion with God. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. Hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, accessible books and library services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books, North Carolina Library, or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. Once again, that number is 888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.